listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action packed Tuesday for you. Boy, history. Almost incomprehensible, the comeback by the Clippers. What does it mean moving forward? What does it mean with Boogie Cousins out for the playoffs? It probably means more than you think. Round the round table, Fezzik, senior day. He rests up on Tuesdays, naps and such. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, joins. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start in the NBA and in the playoffs where we saw a 31-point lead by the Golden State Warriors squandered last night in Northern California as the LA Clippers have tied the series one game apiece, a 135-131 win for the LA Clippers. Game three coming up at Staples Center. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the historic collapse by the Warriors in game two?
Now, that's interesting. That's a glass half empty mentality. Was it a historic collapse or a historic comeback?
I would say collapse.
Okay, so did you watch the game?
Yes.
And so you blame Golden State more than you give credit to Clippers?
Yeah, but I do give the Clippers credit, but I blame Golden State more.
I've heard serious math guys say this is the most impressive comeback in NBA history. Not NBA playoff history, NBA history. If you look at the number of points, the 31 points, you look at the time it happened in, but also, Brad, how big of an underdog the Clippers were. They were like, what, a 15 almost point underdog in the game. Now, what does that mean? It's, imagine you're playing someone at golf, heads up, and they're up by 14 strokes. Now imagine if you were better than them. What's your chance that you could come back? And then compare it to if you were clearly worse than them. The odds of coming back from a huge deficit when you're the lesser team, lesser player, is so much harder than vice versa. So you had a borderline historic underdog. You don't see NBA playoff underdogs in the 15-point range. We're talking one of the biggest mismatches in playoff history was Golden State against the Clippers entering the game last night. Then you add up, you're in the third quarter and you're down 31. The team that's historically mismatched, it is, I don't even know. I mean, I know that one of the Jersey books, you could have got it at 100-1. So everyone likes to hear about the in-game odds. You could have gotten the Clippers, at, and some people did, you know, $10.
They were getting ripped off, though, RJ. 100-1 was not a good price at that point.
Now, how would you quantify what the price should have been?
Well, if you believe, like, the ESPN win probability, yeah, it was 0.01%. That would say 10,000-1 to do that. So, but I think, you know, go in the middle, 1,000-1 instead of 100-1, RJ.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I don't know what the right number was, right? I've never heard of an in-game over 100-1. So in a weird way, it's the biggest in-game I'd ever seen. So we saw the Patriots come back in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. We see these comebacks all the time. I think it bears taking a moment to say this might have been the Clippers coming back as a huge underdog against Golden State, the most improbable we've seen. So give it that credit. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, breaking down the Golden State game. Now, why did it happen? I was listening to Stephen A. today. He said the name Patrick Beverly about 114 times in the A block. I mean, it was like, you know, he's 9 inches shorter, but Patrick, and talk about that Durant might not be wanted with the Knicks if he can't somehow stop Beverly. So, Jonas, as someone watching the game, how much of this was, let's just look at that Durant-Beverly matchup. In your opinion, how much of this was Durant's limitations, problems, failures, and how much was Beverly?
Well, it's what Pat Beverly does. So I give more the credit to Pat Beverly for knowing that Kevin Durant can be rattled like that, because if you can get a trade-off.
So how would you describe how he was rattled?
Just in his face all game long, talking to him, frustrating him, getting physical with him. Beverly fouled out, and then so did Durant. So two games in a row in this series, there's been a trade of Beverly for Durant, and you'd have to say that the Clippers will take that every single game.
Okay, so this, we always, from a Vegas perspective, try to ask ourselves, is this repeatable? One of the things we'll talk about at the end of the hour, OKC playing tonight, we believe that they failed in the first game in a way that's not necessarily repeatable. We expect a comeback. Is Beverly, Jonas, is what he's doing repeatable?
Yes, he does it all the time.
Okay, so if anything, then the Clippers match up well against the Warriors. Durant's one of the keys of the team.
Right. Psychologically, I think Beverly matches up real well with Kevin Durant. Not the player, but mentally, I think he does.
But when you add it all up, he matches up
pretty
well.
Yeah.
Okay. So on one hand, now we've got, because the question is, the Clippers were as big of an underdog entering this series as we've ever seen.
30 plus years, RJ, as far as the series odds.
Okay. The biggest favorite was Golden State in 30 plus years.
30 plus years as far as who will win the series. The Warriors were the biggest favorite since 1988.
So the fact that it's 1-1 and the fact that we're now identifying Beverly matching up against Durant as a repeatable, I don't want to say advantage for the Clippers, but surprising that it's not a big disadvantage. Now, I also think, and I'm just going to throw this out there, Doc Rivers. You know, I don't know if it was the Bill Simmons feud. I accept that I'm not an X's and O's guy, so I can't decide, oh, off this timeout, what Doc did in 2011 was a problem, so he's not really a great coach. That's the kind of things you hear. Boy, for the Clippers to do the sell-off they did during the season, to still make the playoffs, and then to win this game, to some degree, at what point is there a reevaluation of Doc? Now, I get if you're a casual fan, you're thinking, hey, Doc Rivers, he's one of the best known, most respected coaches. But Jonas, you're talking to experts all the time. In my experience, Doc's always been taken as a guy that knows how to play the media, and he's more highly regarded because of that than he should be. Would you say that's the consensus opinion?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And the question is, how much of that maybe is unfair that that's the case?
This is the most impressive coaching job of his entire career. You can even go back to when the Celtics won the title in 08. A lot of people feel like because he had stars, it sort of made his job easier. But if you go back to Orlando, he had a lot of good Orlando teams that blew playoff series. They had a 3-1 lead at one point and blew that series. He's had good Clipper teams that have blown 3-1 series leads. He had the Orlando Magic up 3-2. He had the Lakers up 3-2 in Boston.
But, you know, I would say this, and I mean, it's great to have, I mean, just that bedrock of knowledge Jonas has as the fan is so valuable to the show. But I think we got to put these in different categories. Let's give them blame on that Clippers. Hey, listen, that Clippers-Rockets deal is going to always be a mark against them, no doubt. But when you're a player that becomes a coach, you've got a steeper learning curve. And if you're a 28-year-old that's sitting on the sidelines with a clipboard and you're learning, and then you finally get the head job when you're 45, you know things a former player doesn't. So to me, when you've got a former player that's becoming a coach, you got to excuse a learning curve. So if we go back to the Magic with Doc, I'm saying that's not even applicable to the Doc we've got in front of us today.
It's on his resume, though. There's a lot of those on his resume.
Well, but I think if we're trying to decide how good he is today, that doesn't matter as much. We're not so much trying to figure out, does he have a Hall of Fame career? We're saying sitting here in 2019, is Doc Rivers a top five coach? A lot of casual fans would say, of course he is. Who's even debating that? But I would make the case most experts would not have put him in a top five. I think he may be. It's something to watch. Last thing, straight out of Vegas, breaking down the aftermath of Golden State's loss. Boogie Cousins, would you say, has a pot belly? Rolling around. You know, to some degree, it's almost, and this is a shame. You get one injury, you start, you know, the orthopedic guys will tell you, you start walking a little different. Now you heard another thing. A big contract at stake for him. You know, a lot at stake. But here's the question. What does it mean to Golden State? And I think you're going to be surprised at the answer. And that answer is more impactful. Let's just say this. I'll tease it. You're going to be so surprised about how important Boogie Cousins has been to the Golden State Warriors.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will tell you what DeMarcus Cousins' loss for the Warriors really means in Golden State.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 55 degrees. It's raining, but the neon is still pumping.
So, RJ, we talked a little bit last segment about the Golden State Warriors and the L.A. Clippers. Golden State losing to L.A. last night, 135-131. Also, another loss for Golden State. DeMarcus Cousins went down with what is being called a torn quad, possibly out for the remainder of the playoffs. What does Vegas make of the news regarding DeMarcus Cousins?
It reminds me of the famous Lou Holtz story. He had a fullback that ran like a 4.55 or something. So it was kind of slow for the time. And he goes, I pulled a hamstring. Holtz goes, you don't run fast enough to pull a hamstring. But you look at Boogie, and let's admit something. NBA analytics is yet to fully figure out how to measure the value of a player. The reason baseball has always been at the forefront of the analytics revolution, sabermetrics, is because at the heart of it, it's one pitcher against one batter. There's other factors, but that's the majority factor. But think about basketball. There's a guy maybe that doesn't make a lot of free throws, or I'm sorry, a lot of shots in general. He maybe doesn't get a lot of rebounds. He maybe doesn't get a lot of assists. Well, what the heck? Sounds like he's not very valuable. But for whatever reason, maybe it's defense, maybe he's the guy that makes the hockey assists, but his plus minus is great. So you got, for example, we'll be talking about the Raptors game. It was what, Lowry had the horrible game?
Yeah, but Kyle Lowry, yep.
But his plus minus was like outstanding in that game. It makes no sense. So I get the idea, well, RJ, well, over the course of a season, let's just say we've yet to crack the code, or the sabermetrics guys have yet to crack the code about how valuable a player truly is. Luckily, from the Vegas perspective, we can look at a team's performance against expectation, against the spread, and give you a pretty good idea. These numbers are going to surprise you. So when the Big Five played for Golden State, this came from pregame.com's research. Mackey headed it up. So the big five, Steph, Clay, Durant, Green, Cousins. 21 games this year. 13-8 against the spread. 18-3 straight up. 13-8. So that's 62%. Pretty good. When one of the big five didn't play, just one, only 36% against the spread. 22-38-1. So when the big five played for the Warriors, 62% against the spread. When they didn't, 36%. Pretty big deal, it seems, to have the big five. Now, a fair question would be, but Cousins, you're throwing him in the big five. Maybe he was interchangeable. Maybe that fifth guy didn't matter. Maybe Durant being out matters. We know Steph being out matters. But maybe Cousins doesn't matter. Well, we looked that up. When Cousin played in a game, 53% against the spread, 16-14. When Cousins didn't play, 37%. Mm. So it's not perfect. Like, no metric is with how much one player matters in the NBA. But the data is telling us that this Warriors team is not the same team without Boogie Cousins. Jonas, as a fan with the eye test, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it sounds right. I also noticed, just from a fan's perspective, that Chris Webber kept making the point, even when Golden State had a 10-12 point lead, but it was starting to slip, that Steve Kerr felt uneasy. And I think when Boogie Cousins went down, that only made it even worse, that Steve Kerr knows he's got a flawed team. And even with Boogie Cousins gone, I think he sees that even more.
So you can look at Bogey, Looney, the backups. We can say, oh, what a smart signing, pluck him from Australia. He was in Australia for a reason. Also, you would think they call it what, the Hamptons five lineup, the small lineup. You see more of that. So some people might say that's a good thing. But boy, history would say, at least this year, the Warriors played significantly better against the spread, against expectation, when Boogie was on the floor.
Guys, another series in the NBA that is tied up now after last night was the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, as Philadelphia, a 145-123 win over Brooklyn. Again, all tied up at one apiece. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on Philly and Brooklyn?
You know, this is such a great game to kind of build our framework of predicting. So, Brad, one of the things we've done for years, you'll give me a score, and I'll say, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Now, when we started, you said, well, look at the score. It's like, yeah, but all scores aren't created equal. So, to me, I think in the NBA playoffs, there's three possible next likely result buckets where you could say, maybe all the ones in this bucket aren't the same, but in general, there's three big groupings, buckets. Number one is it was fluky. And again, we'll tease ahead to the OKC pick we're going to do at the end of the show. The theory is OKC shot really poorly. We can't necessarily expect that again. There was nothing about the game that they should have shot poorly. Just bad luck, bad shooting.
Yep.
In general, you want to assume the bad luck doesn't continue. If I'm an 80% free throw shooter and I only hit 50%, and someone says over under 66% next one, I will gobble that up over, because I'm thinking there's no fundamental reason that I'm no longer an 80% free throw shooter. It was just a bad run. All right, so that's bucket one. It happened, no real reason, don't expect it to happen again. Bucket number two, and we'll get into this all through the playoffs, coaching adjustments. NBA coaching in a seven-game series, and Popovich has been the master at this. Stevens has done a good job. Obviously, Phil Jackson in the day. They say, oh, you're going to do this? Well, now we're going to do this. Now, what's your next move? And eventually what you find out, and that's why the seventh games are so amazing in the NBA. What you find out is eventually who runs out of a next move first. Whereas maybe you have an adjustment to this, and we'll adjust to you, you adjust to us. But finally, someone's going to shrug and go, I don't know what to do now. There's not a next move for us. So the ebbs and flows in a series can be fascinating. And you can say, yeah, team A did well in this given spot. But now with this adjustment, I expect team B to do better. So we've got our two groups so far. Hey, good luck, bad luck. Don't expect it to continue. That's group one. Group two is as a result of an adjustment made in series. Now, I think with group three, we've got a situation where it's effort level. And you might say, wait a minute, RJ, this is the playoffs. These guys are getting paid a lot of money. I hear you. I would play pretty hard for a couple million. But I think history shows us that there's even some NBA teams that don't play max hard even in the playoffs. Would you say you've observed that, Brad?
I absolutely agree with that. That was the whole thought process in the 90s and the early 2000s where the zigzag theory came into play.
And we'll be talking about that because the zigzag is much misunderstood. And when we do our picks at the end of the hour here, we'll talk about the zigzag a little bit. But I look at this 76ers team, and I'd say they are number one on the list of teams that I'll look to play on when it feels like it's a must win, but I'll look to play against them where motivation isn't obvious. Because if you looked at that game, you would say Ben Simmons played differently. He was obviously, there was a sense of redemption off of the talk that, hey, after game one, there was a lot of, boy, we misevaluated Ben Simmons, and he isn't a franchise guy, you know? Because you could make the case before Zion now is coming in the league, is Ben Simmons one of the three most coveted draft choices this century? Could you say LeBron then Anthony Davis? And then who's next?
Ben Simmons.
And in game one, he didn't play like that.
No, he didn't.
Against Boston last year, he didn't play like that.
Nope.
So the jibber and jabber starts, the talk radio guys like Jonas, blah, blah, blah. And now all of a sudden, Ben Simmons plays with more intensity. Where was that intensity in game one? Number two, Embiid. If you watch that game, he was in the blocks. He was down low. He wasn't messing around shooting threes, trying to act like he's a guard. So he was doing the things that ain't fun. You know how it is, Jonas, where you're dating a girl? Your natural instinct is you want to watch the third football game on Sunday.
Right.
But you know, she's thinking, hey, maybe watch that game on DVR and take me out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And you know how if you're just off a fight and you kind of felt like there's a fork in the road, but you want to keep her? For a week or two, you go out to dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah, you play nice for a little while.
And then eventually you reach your normal level and break up.
That's why I got into sports radio. Sorry, babe, I got to go to work. I don't know what to tell you.
We all have those things. If it's a diet, you're in a weight loss contest, you've got your normal level, and then you've got your, if I try really hard. I think with the Sixers, we're going to see a true zigzag that when they try really hard, and they do the things that don't come natural and be down in the blocks, for example, they're going to be as good as we thought they could be. But the games where they don't feel that, I think there's going to be a big opportunity to bet against the Sixers because I think their ebbs and flows will be more than most NBA teams in the playoffs. What do you think, Brad?
I couldn't agree more, RJ. I think it's a very strong point, and it makes a lot of sense. From a pure starting five, I think a lot of people would generally think that the 76ers, in terms of talent alone, they're starting five, second only to the Warriors, but there's still a lot of youth in that lineup with Embiid, with Ben Simmons, and then you got an X and O coach that's not very well thought of either.
True enough. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. That's Brad Powers. All right, last thing, guys, and I need your help. I'm going to be honest. like I usually am, but especially honest. This whole Game of Thrones stuff throws me a little bit. I mean, I've heard shows, they're spending an hour talking about this. And obviously, we're not going to do that. But I'm a little bit tempted by it because there's odds on it. You can bet something about the Iron Throne. Who's going to be on the Iron Throne? So we're going to do something, Jonas, I think. It just kind of hit me that we can use our fans, we can use the listeners for this. So we've had our pick graffiti. We've had different times callers can call up. I want to do something new. I want to do a pick, I want to do a caller crossfire. Now, what's a crossfire? It's one against the other. And here's what we need. We just need two callers. Now, if we don't get two good guys, we're not going to do it, or gals. One to say, yes, RJ, it's manly. There's nothing wrong with it. Give us the Game of Thrones odds update each week. Take precious time away for that. And then on the other side is going to be, what are you talking about, Willis? Forget about that stuff. Be a man. So here's the number. We're only going to take one from each side. And only do this if we got the passion. You're going to have 30 seconds to make your case. Call 877-996-6369. That's 877-99 on Fox. Say I'm pro or con and make your case. And if we got good enough call, you know what we should do, Jonas? Let's come back in a minute and talk Russell Wilson and give us time to find if we got one good caller on each side. And one more time, that number, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Pro on one side, con the other. Game of Thrones.
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Steve DeSager.
Hello, LA Slugger. Cody Bellinger, with 9 homers already this year, was hit by a pitch last night near the knee. It's a bruise. X-rays were negative last night, but reportedly Bellinger is out of the starting lineup tonight. Starting in just a few minutes in New York, the Yankees host Boston. Red Sox called up catcher Sandy Leone. Blake Swihart designated for assignment. At the top of the hour, it's Tampa Bay hosting Baltimore. Tampa Bay Cy Young winner Blake Snell will miss at least one start with a broken toe. Also at the top of the hour, Mets at Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, PA, officially will host the MLB All-Star Game in 2026. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson agreed to a 4-year extension worth over $100 million guaranteed. Bears tight end Zach Miller retired after a severe knee injury in 2017. The Patriots signed wide receiver Demaryius Thomas, coming off a torn Achilles. The full NFL schedule will be released tomorrow night. NBA and NHL playoffs continue this evening. The LA Kings' new head coach is Todd McClellan. Champions League quarterfinal win for Barcelona, 3-0 over Manchester United. In the NBA, last night's injury to DeMarcus Cousins, Golden State Center, is probably season-ending, according to The Athletic. The MRI was this morning. It is a torn quad. The team just says he's out indefinitely. The Lakers are interviewing 76ers assistant Monty Williams, according to the LA Times, which reports Tyronn Lue will meet with the Lakers in LA on Friday. The Pelicans will introduce new executive David Griffin at a news conference tomorrow. And the Olympic basketball tournament next year will have only 3 games in group play instead of 5 each. The 2020 games will be in Tokyo. The marathon in Tokyo to beat the heat will start at 6 a.m. local time. The 50K walk will start at 5:30 a.m. Triathlon at those Olympics, 7:30 a.m. Now, the swimming finals in Tokyo next year, that's because of U.S. TV. That'll be starting at 10:30 a.m. local time. Guys, back to you.
Thanks, Steve. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will look ahead to the NBA playoff games on a Tuesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
So we got any passion with the callers yet?
Yeah, we have two. We have a pro and a con that we have identified amongst
the
hundreds.
No, ask Gavin, because dump anyone that's a B. We want A guys. We have two.
I've threatened Lee with violence if he doesn't get me a good pro and a good con.
He says we're ready.
Yeah, he said we're ready to go.
Let's do it now.
All right, so here we go. By the way, that's the Game of Thrones theme, in case you're not familiar with that. All right, so pro Game of Thrones, we've got Daniel in Kentucky. Con Game of Thrones, we've got Max in Indiana. Guys, are you there? Are you ready to dispute this on national radio?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
All right, so here we go. So we got Daniel and Max. RJ, how do you want this? Do you want to hear from Daniel first, or do you want to hear from Max?
Well, listen, I'm Con personally, so I want to give Con an advantage, so let's go Con first.
All right, so Max, you are up in Indiana. Con, Game of Thrones, why?
30 seconds.
I got my show experience has been ruined because I'm a huge fan, but I was listening to a guy that shouldn't be talking about the show, and he told me when Jon Snow died, he comes back to life, and I have never wanted to hear another guy that doesn't know what he's talking about talk about the show again, so I could care less, and I'd rather listen to sports and watch a show by myself, so...
So there he is. Wow, that's a guy who wants to take it all in a private manner. That's interesting.
So it's even a fan of the show is saying someone made a bad prediction and it soured him on anyone talking about it.
It's like when someone likes your favorite band that was like an underground band and then you get pissed off because they got popular.
You know, I was like that with Scarlett Johansson after Ghost World.
All right.
I felt like we had a little something and then everyone got involved. And ruined it.
All right, Daniel in Kentucky, you are pro Game of Thrones. Let's hear what you got.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's the best television show ever made. There are rivalries across the board. It's so similar to sports. You never know who's going to win. It's kind of like the playoffs. Just when you think somebody's going to win, something happens and they lose. Absolutely, a weekly update would be awesome if you guys did that, for sure.
Now, what's this dude's name?
This is Daniel in Kentucky.
Daniel just proved that straight out of Vegas has the smartest callers in the business. That was well-reasoned. Here's what I'm going to do. We got to go collective IQ. I'm going to put a poll up on Twitter after the show. So give me a few minutes. At RJ in Vegas. Yes, no, should we do a weekly update? And we will commit to let the winner dictate. I'm giving up power. I'm not comfortable giving up power. I'm going to give it up to you. At RJ in Vegas, there's a poll. Yes, no, weekly Game of Thrones odds update, and the winner will stick. I can't even veto it.
Guys, next up, we move from Game of Thrones, Dragons, and Sorcerers to the NFL, where Russell Wilson got paid a four-year deal, $140 million, with a $65 million signing bonus from the Seattle Seahawks. So he is now the highest-paid player in the NFL. RJ, what's the Vegas takeaway on the Wilson deal in Seattle?
You know, Jonas, I don't know if you know this, but I tend to make predictions.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
I was so wrong about this that it's almost wrong to the point I don't understand how I could be so wrong. Here was my thought, and others agreed. If you want, imagine there's a girl, you know, again, I like to talk about food and women or romance, right? My perspective, it's with a woman, but it doesn't matter, right? It's romance. Why? Because it's what we feel most passionately. We love to eat. We, as humans, we love to connect. And imagine there's a girl, Jonas, one day, finally, you're the old guy in the club. It's going to happen. And you decide, okay, now's the time.
Yeah.
So the next one that you really like, you're like, I'm a huge believer. People that get married, it's usually about their age. They say, well, I'm finally ready. It's the next person that they love. And they love them. But, excuse me, they loved that girl when they were 22 also. They just weren't ready to settle down, right? But imagine you going to a girl you really want to marry and saying, hey, listen, I know you have your ambivalence. You're not sure. I need a decision by midnight tonight. And by the way, if it's 12:01, I don't care if you say yes or not. No go. In fact, we will never be married no matter what if you don't agree. Like, does that sound like someone that's trying to make the deal happen?
No.
So now it sounds like someone that was trying to act like they could have a talking point that, hey, we gave Seattle a chance. They failed. We had to move on. Don't blame us. It felt like they were building that case. Now here's the question. And I think this question, the answer to it, determines if this is a good deal for Seattle. Was I just plain wrong about that? And Russell Wilson wanted to play in Seattle, and he just felt like this was the best way to get the most money. If so, I think you should feel good as a Seattle fan. you know, you would feel like, oh, I wish we weren't paying him as much, but at least he wants to be there. That's option A. Option B, he didn't want to be there. That he was doing what I said. But they came in with such a big offer, he couldn't say no. And thus, I wouldn't be happy as a Seattle fan because he didn't want to be there, but the money made him stay. I got to say it's the second, because it just felt like there was no way the way they were setting that up was to maximize the chance. It was like the only way he would stay, it felt like, was a Godfather offer. And they made him a Godfather offer. But now you don't have much money to spread around, and he really doesn't want to be there. What do you think, Jonas?
Yeah, I think that Seattle, and I think Russell Wilson and his agent knew this, that Seattle has always catered to Russell Wilson. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but they've always picked him over everybody else. At the one-yard line, it was him over Marshawn Lynch. When it came time to say bye-bye and restructure the team, they said bye-bye to all the guys on defense and kept Russell Wilson. They've always sided with him and gone with him, which is why there was resentment there from some of the veterans on defense. I think his agent and him knew that, and I think they played the Seahawks here.
Yeah, but even if you knew that, you would not try to lock yourself in. I see, in a weird way, you're almost saying like he wanted to stay in Seattle. Do you think the way they said just yes, no, and we'll move on because we're going to see. Do you think the way Russell Wilson and his agent set up that scenario with the deadline was conducive to him signing with Seattle or not?
Yes.
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 Conducive.
Yes.
Boy, Brad, it felt like
I don't.
It felt like he was doing everything he could to make it impossible to get signed so he could move on. Yeah,
I mean, and what's with the April 15th deadline? Other than taxes, I mean, there was no, what was the hurry, the rush? He was already locked into this season. Yeah,
you would it just didn't make sense that they made it so, I don't know. But the fact that Jonas thinks otherwise, it's why it's such a big question. We're going to see, based on comments, based on passion. I'm skeptical. I think they just overpaid, and he said, what are we going to do? We got to take this deal. When we come back, two big NBA games tonight, and there's two stories that are Vegas-related on each.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We've got a doubleheader in the NBA playoffs on TNT. First up, 8 Eastern time, tipping off a little over an hour from now. Game 2 between the Magic and the Raptors. Orlando with a 1-0 series lead, but Toronto an 11-point favorite on pregame.com.
You know something? I'm not one for historic, oh my God, this is the most or the best or the... This might be the most. Brad, have you seen an NBA team in a game 2 of a series with higher stakes, with more to lose, with doom, D-O-O-M, doom, so close on the horizon? Because if Toronto loses this game, I mean, is the series over? I get that sounds crazy. You'd think the better team, Toronto, they were clear favorites. Home court, all that. Yeah, getting down 0-2 is rare, and it's not easy to come back from that. But the better team can come back from that. But with Toronto's history of poor performance in the playoffs, and then they do a total reset. They send DeRozan out. It's almost like it's almost like some teenage girls think a house is haunted, and they somehow got to bring all the furniture outside and hose it down and burn some incense and bring it all back in. They did everything they could to say the past is the past. They bring in Kawhi Leonard, who has proven to be able to win a title. A new coach. They've done everything. And then they lose as a huge favorite in game 1? Toronto? I think if they lose again, This is the high stakes game too, I think I've seen in the NBA in a long time. What do you think?
Especially in the first round. But think about it, RJ, you're right. They're down 0-2. Maybe Kawhi at that point's already got 1 foot out the door, and you got a new coach, Lowry's still there.
So
over.
To me, Fezzik, who's on senior day, he sent us his email, pick analysis. He likes, not leans, he likes Toronto. I'm staying away because I'll tell you this. If Toronto gets down by 10 points, they're going to be tight as a drum. I'm passing the game.
After the Magic and the Raptors on TNT, it's the Thunders at the Blazers. Game 2, Portland, a 1-0 series lead in that one. And right now on pregame.com, Portland is also a 1-point favorite.
And you know something? Portland in Game 1 was a 3-point favorite. This is the definition of the zigzag theory. What is the zigzag? It means when a team goes one direction, which is they win the game, they tend to zag back the other direction the next game. Why? Because they're feeling fat and happy. They won. Yay. The other team's like, uh-oh, we better win this next game or we're in big trouble. So the zigzag is really about intensity. Now, you would think if Portland is a 3-point favorite in game one and they win, you'd say, well, heck, that reinforces how good Portland is. You'd think the line would go up. The fact that game one was Portland favored by 3, in game two, after Portland wins, they're only favored by 1, it proves to you Vegas believes in the zigzag. I lean to OKC because they do have a motivational edge in this game, and they shot so poorly in game one, I don't think that repeats itself.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.